my lord, it has been a while. Hello, and welcome to 3 from the 7, Relix's weekly news podcast chronicling 3 of our biggest news stories from the past 7 days. Do you remember me? I'm Raf Kenny Sincotta. I am the associate editor at Relix Magazine, and I've been gone for a while, but I am back, I'm feeling good, I am on the West Coast, and I am joined all the way on a transcontinental satellite interface with the one and only Karina Reichman.
Oh, Raf, yes. Thank God you're back. Thank God you're here. I miss the sound of your voice.
Oh my God.
I miss the regularity in my life that this brings.
I'm
just grasping at straws
not,
here, you know?
If I am not anything, I'm regular.
Which is, I crave that. That's why, you know, I crave you.
Oh my God. And she craves
And
me.
I have missed, yes, that's right. That's going on our vows or something. Anyway, not to make it weird right off the bat, but what is up, dude? You have been on a cross-country adventure, and you are now in the Bay Area. Tell us everything. What do you got?
After a quick audible because of the wildfires, California, my God, the resilience of you people is incredible. So good vibes to everybody dealing with the fires, which still remain a problem. I was going to be in like the Mill Valley area, but now I am in lovely San Francisco at my boyfriend's home. It is a wild ride, man. I've been in California once or twice when I was a kid, but this is my first time as a full-fledged adult, and it is absolutely lovely out here. I'm an East Coast kid, born and bred, you know, grew up in the shadow of New York City, went to school in Boston, so really just a pizza rat top to bottom. So to be in the lovely city of San Francisco, you know, the food is amazing, the people are nice, and Karina, I don't know if you've had this endeavor, but I am thrown by the kindness of people to the point where I feel like they are being condescending, but they're actually just being nice.
That is hilarious. Wow. Look at that. You're just like, hey man, they're just nice. That's great. That's fantastic.
It's wild. You know, people tell me,
but the pizza bagels.
Yeah. The pizza and the bagels, you know, I've had pretty good pizza so far. I have not endeavored the bagels, but the thing that throws me is people say things like, have a nice day. And I go like, what the fuck do you mean by that? Have a nice day. You have a nice day. Fuck you. You know?
Yeah. Come on. Are we serious with this have a nice day shit? Come on. Oh, Raf, I'm glad you're fucking California living in a New York state of mind. It's just beautiful. It's a nice reversal for a little bit. Come on. This is good. These are the dog days of something, you know? I don't know what it is. It's a questionable time in our world's history, and you know, it's wrought with complication and, you know, wrought with change, and I think it's a wonderful time to, you know, given the whole work from home situation, you can do something like this right now. You're not expected to be anywhere, so I think it's a beautiful thing, and I wish you nothing but delights on the West Coast, and I have a long laundry list of restaurants I'd like you to you know, check out.
Oh yeah, hit me with those deets. And the cool thing is, like, I mean, not unlike New York, restaurants that were once too fancy to have takeout or delivery or Grubhub or Uber Eats or whatever your preferred method of delivery are now doing it, so you can eat at a, you know, top tier restaurant now in the comfort of your home, which is super cool.
So cool, honestly. And that is a phenomenal food city. San Francisco, one of my top 5 food cities in the U.S. Truly, truly, truly.
Hit me with your top 5 right now, Karina, for the people.
Oh, okay. Straight up, we're talking Cala, C-A-L-A. That's fucking, get the albacore tostadas. Oh my God. Whew! The Tadich Grill, that is just a classic, classic San Francisco restaurant. Like, you know, you go for the cioppino, stay for the seafood salad. My God. It's you know, that's like a old school storied famous spot, and worth checking out for sure. And I'm gonna give you top 3 because, okay, I'm not a machine here. I'm not a machine.
I mean, I was really asking for your top 5 cities, in your top 5 food cities, like,
oh,
you said. But I'll take top 3 eateries in San Francisco, because you said, okay, San Francisco's in the top 5.
Okay, well, here, one more restaurant, okay, in San Francisco. The Swan's Oyster Depot. I mean, put it on your list for tomorrow. Come on now. Get there at 10 a.m. You won't be able to get in. You'll sit in front of a sheet of ice and a man will prepare you the freshest fish, and it'll really melt your mind,
Karina,
and your soul.
It's 2020. A man or a woman.
Or a woman! Or a woman.
Or a gender non-conforming individual.
Thank you. Thank God you're here. You're absolutely right. Oh, my God. Oh, yes. Yes to everything she just said. Forget it. And, you know, other food cities in the U.S., I mean, it's a loaded question, and I know I brought it up. I will give an honorable mention to Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, that's a swerve. I mean, I figure we talked about this before. You love New York, you love New Orleans, you love San Francisco, but Charleston's a bit of a swerve. You love seafood,
well, that's
though.
Why,
it's
yeah,
a seafood city.
I do. It's a seafood town, and it's just the quality of the stuff is just really, like, will knock you off your feet. Shout out to Charleston. And I mention them because, yes, like you say, New Orleans, I mean, probably number one, to be honest. New York, forget it. It's ridiculous. San Francisco, come on. Love it, because you get the high-end stuff, you get the coastal fish, but you also get, you know, the Sonoma wines. Let's not forget about all those West Coast wines, and the, you know, Willamette Valley's not far away. But you also, right, you know, near where you are, in you get the tacos, you get the burritos, you get the Mexican fare that's just unparalleled, and we certainly don't have it on the East Coast to that extent, and that's just matter of fact. And, you know, I know maybe you'd expect this, but L.A. is really a great food town as well. I really do think that. And I think the freshness of the produce shines in ways that I'm always kind of floored by whenever I'm there. I'm like, wow, shit, L.A., you got me again. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I think the produce game out here is fantastic. I'm eating nothing but fresh everything, which is fantastic. But I digress. This is not a food podcast. This is a music podcast. And we move on to our first story of the week. Mr. Derek Trucks performed the national anthem to kick off Thursday night football for his beloved NFL Jacksonville Jaguars. Karina, did you see this clip? Derek really shredded into it. He made the anthem his own.
I took a gander, and I did, and of course, leave it to Derek to really make it happen out there, and it sounded fantastic. Did you enjoy it?
I did, of course. I mean, I think a lot of times, because Hendrix, obviously, you know, really put his stamp on the anthem, and I feel like anytime you see a dude with an electric guitar playing the national anthem, you think it's just going to be a parody or, you know, an ode, an homage to the Hendrix version. But Derek really made it his own. That signature slide, you gotta love it. And then actually in the video, if you caught it, Karina, in the little bottom right hand corner, he had a little picture of Colonel Bruce Hampton. So people can go on Relics and check it out. Just Google Relics Derek Trucks, you know, national anthem. Watch the video. It's super cool to see a little bit of Colonel Bruce on national television, which is certainly, he was not on television enough. He should have been on every fucking channel. But it's cool.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Cool too to see kind of the jockier side of Derek Trucks, because people think music folk aren't necessarily super into sports, but Derek and Susan, his beloved wife and bandmate, Susan Tedeschi, they love football. They are big fans of the Jacksonville Jaguars as well as the Florida Seminoles, that NCAA. Karina, do you dabble in any of the sports teams, or are you strictly non-participatory?
Well, you know, it's a great question, Raph, and it's something I've thought about quite a bit in recent times, because my boyfriend is wildly into sports while being wildly into music and working in music, and, you know, being kind of, you know, having one foot on both sides of the fence, if you will, which I really, and a lot of his friends are the same way. And I feel like there was an era where that was much more commonplace. And I kind of feel like in our little millennial bubble here, I feel like it's much less common. And I feel like a lot of people go one way or the other. And if you're into music, you're probably not into sports. If you're into sports, I mean, you know, God willing, you like some music, Jesus. But, you know, maybe it's not your real thing. Me, I'm not participatory at all. I'm not going to lie to you. I will, you know, I'll get excited if a basketball game is close and there are 2 minutes left and there's, you know, people getting excited. That kind of riles me up. You know, I root for the New York teams. I, you know, as a born and raised New Yorker, you kind of gotta represent for your people. In terms of football, I just enjoy, you know, the New Orleans Saints have the aesthetic that I enjoy the most.
Absolutely.
So I consider myself a member of the Who Dat Nation based on, obviously, my affinity for New Orleans and also, you know, black and gold.
Yeah,
baby.
They've got
black
good colors.
Gold.
They've got a good logo, the Florida Lee, of course. And
exactly.
Mr. Trombone Shorty is, I believe, the musical director, or at least he was, of that team. So they've definitely got... Like, the Saints are aware that, like, all right, if we're going to be a New Orleans sports team, we need to have some dope music, and it's got to be that brass. And that Trombone
exactly.
Shorty, like, they're cutting him a check, which I'm all about.
And that's a beautiful thing, and I love it. I'm so about, you know, fandom in general, music, sports, whatever you got. I like people united for large-scale events, and I think it's a fucking beautiful thing. I will bring up one... amazing performance that if you haven't seen it, Raph, our listeners, you gotta check this out. 1983, Marvin Gaye at a basketball final, like an NBA final, performs the national anthem. And it's incredible because it's literally just like a weird drum machine backing track, but like not even like it's hardly melodic. It just is like just drums essentially, and he basically doesn't even follow the melody of the national anthem, and yet it's so fucking out, but it is so fucking in and so cool. And I beg, beseech, and implore you to check it out.
Ooh,
it's really
I just pulled it up on my computer, and the minute we finish recording I'm gonna watch it because I am wildly
yes.
intrigued. Marvin Gaye, anything, of course, but a weird drum machine and a pseudo spoken, is it like a spoken word type vibe?
It's like, it's just like, you know, when you think of, oh, say, can you see? Like, does not do that. Absolutely not.
Fascinating.
Those notes. And he's just like very like freeform about it. And there's something really magical about that performance. So as things go in this realm, that's a top tier favorite for
nice.
Sure.
I'm
so.
About it. Well, as we talk about weirdness and unexpected things, why not talk about fish a little bit? Second story of the week. Dinner in a Movie has moved from weekly broadcasts to like kind of sort of monthly broadcasts. This week it's going to be offered on a Wednesday for the first time ever, which if you're listening to this on Wednesday when the episode drops, it will be tonight, which is the 30th of September. And Fish is going to offer their full July 23rd, 1999 performance from Columbus, Ohio. Karina, I know you're not necessarily, you know, huge into the live stream thing, but I do think giving people a little more breathing room, and God knows how long this pandemic will last, I'm fine with Dinner in a Movie being monthly as opposed to weekly.
Oh, most certainly. And, you know, I will be tuning in tomorrow. I think the show seems great. You know, you got the Yamar opener, Into the NICU. You got a lot of good stuff in there. Anyway, I think it's going to be a great grand old time. But I agree, and I, you know... It's an unfortunate thing that oftentimes, you know, fans and we get labeled as entitled, you know. People feel very much like somehow they're owed something by their favorite bands. And I just think that's a strange way to be. And we've been blessed by so much amazing footage from Fish and, like, you know, people structured their weeks kind of around this stuff, at least at me at the beginning. I mean, we were living for Tuesdays
a
long time.
Absolutely. Same. There was, I think, the first, I want to say like 10 weeks or five, between 5 and 10 weeks, I was watching every Tuesday religiously.
Absolutely. No, it was a real beacon of light in a world of plight. So, you know, I think it all makes perfect sense to do it more spaced out. It's easier on them, and it kind of builds up the anticipatory factor, like you said, and it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm in for whatever. So I look forward to it tomorrow for sure.
Absolutely. And then the band also, the reason they are moving it from a Tuesday to a Wednesday is they originally scheduled it for tonight when we are recording this, the Tuesday, the 29th. And then the band, I feel like someone burst through Fish headquarters and was just like, we scheduled Dinner in a Movie for the first, like on the same day as the first presidential debate. This cannot happen. And Fish ended up pushing it 24 hours, which I think is really cool because, you know, no matter where your political affiliations, whether you have any or none. It's important to watch a debate. It's important to be aware and tuned in to the goings on of the country in this very monumental election year. So I'm happy that Fish isn't, you know, enticing people from not watching, you know?
Sure. And there's also the small yet large added fact that September 30th, oh yeah, it's Trey's birthday, baby.
Ooh.
So, you know, I don't know. Not that matters in terms of the streaming schedule, but I feel like it's going to feel pleasant watching the band knowing that it's Trey's birthday tomorrow, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I that completely slipped through my radar. Good reporting, Reichman. Very nice.
No problem. No problem. You think I don't come correct for these, Rav? You are. I just sit here the entire week just getting my plot points down, jotting them down. It's like Trey's birthday, Trey's birthday.
It's like Wolf Trey's of Wall Street over birthday. There. Karina's just pounding on a calculator, wearing a suit with suspenders, just doing her
Tons
thing.
Tons of cocaine, you know. Yeah, absolutely. It's just great. It's great. Stock options up the wazoo, you know, everything's invested. Sorry, what?
Oh, absolutely.
I never saw that.
Well,
but
yeah, being
great.
In a being
great.
In the tech. Ooh, is there? Sorry if there's street noise here. I'm enjoying the view, but also you might have heard a motorcycle zip by. But being in the tech capital of San Francisco, I'm surrounded by those types of individuals, or, you know, on the street periodically. A lot of tech bros, a lot of conversations about buying and selling, and I'm just over here like, you know, hoping I can see some live music within the next year, but I feel it, you know, buy, sell,
sure.
Stock, tech. I'm watching Silicon Valley, which I feel like is suitable for the surroundings in which I'm in. I'm trying to learn the lingo, Karina. I'm trying to speak
That's
their
a beautiful
language
thing.
Out here.
Your new environs, you know, you got to just never take your AirPods out of your ears.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
A big one, yeah.
That's kind of a vibe, right? And, yeah, get your stocks and bonds on, girl. Get invested. And then you can just, you know, have a great conversation with some lovely people.
Karina, I'd like to bring you on as my financial advisor. Are you willing to take on the job?
I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled. Just, you know, yeah, absolutely. We'll have a really long conversation after this. We're going to put things away. We're going to get that IRA invested. Everything's in the market. Just pray that the North American economy doesn't completely crumble and we are not left with no banks and a shell of our past lives. And, you know, yeah, maybe just take all of your money out and hide it under your bed.
I mean, that's pretty
that's
much what
advice.
I'm doing now. So nice.
Perfect.
Thank you for that advisement. I appreciate it.
That was a great meeting.
I'll cut
great
you 10%.
Meeting. That would be great. Yeah, I'll invoice you after this.
Fantastic.
That'd be great.
Moving on to our final story of the week, the Headcount Festival Challenge. This is a super cool thing. If you want to win tickets to Lock in 2021, I know festival season this year has been a complete and utter wash, but we're all feeling hopeful about 2021, and Headcount is giving away tickets. So all you have to do is go to headcount.org/lockin, LOCKN, and figure out your voter registration, and you can be entered to win 2 VIP passes to the next lock-in. All you have to do is just see if you're registered to vote. The deadline is October 1st, though. So that is, if you're listening on Wednesday, it's tomorrow, Thursday. So head on over to headcount.org/lock-in. Headcount has been, you know, doing all of these cool contests, getting people engaged in the political process and handing out cool stuff in the process. So all you have to do, headcount.org/lock-in, and you can go to lock-in 2021. And Karina, you and I, we're VIPs. People know this. The VIP experience is unlike anything that you will ever experience in your life. I walk around knowing I'm a VIP.
Yeah.
You walk around knowing you're a VIP. And don't people... So go to headcount.org/lockin, and you can be a VIP too. Karina, tell people what a VIP feels like. What is it like walking around at a festival knowing you're a VIP?
Oh, man. Well, you know, straight into a ditch, you know, and then hopefully they dig you up a couple of days later and then you just scream, I'm VIP. That's what it's like for me. I don't know about you.
You down with VIP? Yeah, you know me. Well, you get super VIP, Karina. You get band treatment, which is a weird, better, but worse thing.
Oh, you know, just I'm VIP. No, I don't do that. What do I don't honestly, Raph, it's been so long. I don't even remember any vestige of my old life in which I was VIP at anything. That's a real sad matter of fact that at this time that, yeah, I mean, I, you know, sometimes a photograph will trigger my memory, but oftentimes I'm like, wait, was that, did that really happen? You know what I mean? Like, I see things, I'm like, wait, I did that? I was, what? No, that can't be.
Yeah, there was a time where you, with absolutely no credentials to drive any type of vehicle, were just whipping golf carts around in, you know, rural areas of America.
Oh, you're so right. Oh, thank God you're around to remind me of...
of better times.
Yeah, really, it was great. No, yeah, no, things were great. We used to play festivals and shows for people. That was really nice, I gotta say. But I support this, and I think you gotta check your status. You gotta register. You gotta check again. You gotta register again. See where you're gonna vote. Do the thing. And you could be VIP at LOC in 2021. That's a wonderful incentive. But whatever the incentive is, VIP, ditch party, or otherwise, just do it. You gotta vote, guys. You yeah. gotta vote. I'm getting fucking agita just thinking about this election. God. So,
Yeah, agita.
I know. just like Minona. It's terrible.
My God. Yeah, so bottom line, everybody, you know, zero political agenda here. Seriously. Just everyone should go out and vote. The amount of people, if you look up in 2016, who just did not vote and did not engage in the political process is absolutely criminal. Just have your voice heard no matter which way you go. Headtoheadcount.org. I know a lot of people are confused with absentee, mail-in, in-person, where am I voting, how am I voting, all that good stuff. Headcount makes it so, so easy, and they're teaming up with people like Bob Weir, Dave Matthews, Billie Eilish, all of these people from all over the music world, to just make sure you get out and vote. So head to headcount.org/lockin, or if it's after October 1st, just go to headcount.org in general. Show it to your friends, show it to your parents, get out there and vote. And then, you know, while you're at it, subscribe to Relics Magazine, maybe. We've got Ben Harper yeah. and Rhiannon Giddens on the cover this month. It's a great cover story, the two of them in conversation. Head to relics.com/united. Support independent music journalism. It's only $25 for a year-long subscription. That's more than you'll probably spend on beer this weekend. About the same as you'll probably spend on beer this weekend. And it lasts
depends
a whole year.
Depends on how you live in your life.
That's true.
Sorry.
I mean, honestly. And it depends where you are, you know, inflation, all of these things. But go to relics.com/united to subscribe to Relics and get that Ben Harper, Rhiannon Giddens cover as your first. Follow us on Instagram @3from7. Email us raffandkarina@gmail.com. I'm so excited to be back here on the pod. I appreciate Karina. Karina did some amazing interviews. If you're just tuning in now and kind of missed the last couple weeks, Karina talked to Dave Schools of Widespread Motherfucking Panic. She talked to Laura Lee of fucking Krungbin, one of the best bands that is making music today. And she also talked to the one and only Isaac Sloan, who is just a homie top to bottom. So go back and listen to those. 3from7 is brought to you by Relics Media Group. Our producer is Will Schwerd. And Karina, I'm just going to pass it off to you, as I always do, to give the people a little bit of wisdom, give them a little bit of love, and sign this thing off.
Oh, man. Well, Raph, first of all, thank God you're back. I just want you to splice in a little Steven Tyler going, I'm back in the saddle again. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind just splicing that in right here, because it's just so good to have you back in the saddle. Though I had a great time, you know, trying to fill your very large and unfillable shoes, you know? It's not easy what you do, you know? It's a thing, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to, you know, kind of go my own way on it a couple weeks in a row. And now I'm really, really extra grateful that the duo is back in action. And the duo being you and I. And I will just say to all our dear listeners, thank you for listening. If you're still listening, we really appreciate you. And, you know, Raph, I can say, I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. I will.
And by see, I mean, you know, we'll talk, you know.
Yes. Count on it, KR. Everybody have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. Bye.